This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Some days I hate it here.
The best show for Chicago sports.
Hey, yo! Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. What's good, EO? Chicago! What's happening, man? Good morning. It is 9 a.m. The Chicago Bears are still the talk of the town. Question on the table today. Will the Bears regret trading for DJ Moore and moving on from that number one pick? Not really DJ Moore, but everything that comes with it. CBS thinks so, based on where they have the Panthers finishing out this season. Also, gotta talk about the Bears' latest signing. Bears are back in the free agency pool, bringing in more defensive linemen. Seems like they understand what the heck I was talking about when I said you got to get to the quarterback to make things happen. And finally, gotta make a pivot on the original conversation, because Tyreek Hill talking about retiring after 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, the date is Friday, April 7th. It's 9:04 in the morning. And I ain't got nowhere else to go. Let's get it. Yeah. It's always good to be vibing on a Friday with the Brodies, man. We got the squad in the building, man. All four of the team in here, man. All we missing is Mr. Two Letters. If you knew better, you do better. Hey, man, we're thinking of you in spirit or whatever, which might be an airlines I'm flying soon, which scares the living daylights out of me. I'm not going to lie to you. Yesterday, man, was a wild day.
Spirit never did me wrong.
Hey, yeah.
Spirit ain't never did me wrong, though.
Hey, listen.
I've got stranded with United. I've got stranded with American Airlines. I've got stranded with whatever the heck, the Delta. Spirit has never stranded me.
Delta is scary on a different level. Delta just be like, hey, bro, you ain't got no flight. Go home. With Spirit? Wait a minute, with Spirit?
this was a Spirit years ago.
Hey, good morning, Chicago. We appreciate you guys for showing love. If you haven't done so, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, man. We do talk Chicago sports daily. Hey, man, was you flying with the Wright brothers there, Joe? Like, what? He said a propeller plane, bro. Hey, bro. That man said it was an old dude just out front, just like, all right, hold on.
We might got to drop some luggage.
Oh, man.
Hey, I was trying to have your back. I was like, yeah, he's probably in Hawaii, you know, taking a flight to one of those small islands. You know, they got small planes for that. I couldn't even think of that.
he was testing out the original Orville and Wilbur plane. You know what I mean? Like, he was testing out that original Wright plane.
Oh man.
No, hey, no. Boys, question on the table today, man. Because of the CBS article that did come out, if you guys haven't read, so it is on CBS.com, where they're talking about projecting six new playoff teams. Now, the wild part is, that kind of irks my soul, is that they still got the Packers making it, even though literally all offseason, this is the D-writing that goes on with a lot of these journals. All offseason is just like, Packers are going definitely take a step back. Packers are absolutely taking a step back, but they're making the playoffs without Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't know how that works. But CBS believes that even though the Carolina Panthers did move on from DJ Moore, with some of the additions they've made in Miles Sanders, Adam Thielen, Hayden Hurst, really nice pieces, right? That they still can make a playoff run, which in theory, right? In the NFC South, which basically three of the four teams kind of just have given up most of their life outside of the New Orleans Saints, they could absolutely find their way into the playoffs with a 7-win season and a feisty young defense, according to CBS. Question on the table, boys, to start this thing off. We'll start off with the super producer, man. He's not here often. Will the Chicago Bears regret moving on from the number one pick because the draft capital that they will get back will probably be outside the top 10 if Carolina makes the playoffs? I don't know, man. I mean, listen, Derek Carr is a nice addition. I like the pieces that they got there. The Saints are still probably going to have the same issue that they had the entire time to me. They can't hear Joe. Nobody can hear Joe.
Apparently they can't hear Joe.
They can't hear Joe. Oh, hold on.
I hear you.
Hold on. Let's run this back.
It's definitely Pat.
Let's run this back. Yeah, that'll do it right there. Boom. Can y'all hear Joel now? Joel, say something.
Hey, how about now?
I believe that they can hear you now, Joel. He made an
my man
point.
Gave a great point. Hey, and then all of a sudden, you got to run his comment back, bro. You can't do it twice.
I'm sick of this.
Hey, Joe, run it back. So what were you saying, Joel, about the...
I was stating that, I think, my hypothesis is that the Bears could essentially...
Hypotenuse.
No, I think that the Panthers... Based off that, if we have to take that into consideration, let's say they're a 7-win team.
Right.
I don't see them necessarily winning a division because I think the Saints would actually win that. But if they did, you know... Let's just say that the Bears are somewhere in the middle too, 8-9 and 8 or 7-9 or whatever the in the middle. We might essentially have back-to-back picks. So technically, I mean, we're getting an extra pick, so it doesn't matter. We got an extra first rounder.
Yeah, I mean, like I don't know if the Saints win the division. I like the I like the offense that they kind of have. I mean, listen, Michael Thomas is a question mark just about every year. Right. Like I like the offense that they are able to go out there with. But I think the Saints have the same question mark on them. One, will you actually be able to replace one of the greatest head coaches of all time in Sean Payton, which last season it seems like is not off to a great start. Sean Payton's a guy who literally can walk in a room and say, hey, you're a good quarterback now. And it literally just works. PJ, what was my man named? PJ Walker, I believe, spent some time there. Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, of course, the great Drew Brees. Yeah, Drew Brees. Right? Like, he's got a winning record with all those guys. Like, basically, anybody who walks into the room becomes a much better quarterback when Sean Payton's around. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Why wouldn't it?
Well, Sean Payton's not around anymore.
I don't know
if that's gonna happen with the Saints, right?
I went west. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, you good. I don't know if that's gonna happen with Derek Carr going down to the Saints now. I like the idea of it, but there's a lot of moving pieces that have to fall into place to me. On top of that, I think that outside of the Saints, no one else matters. Like that is the new NFC East. Good job, Ringo. You finally moved out of the basement.
And we still can't fix the divisions.
It makes no sense to not just go conference at this point. I don't know.
Looking at the stands from last year, Tampa was 8-9. Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta were all 7-10.
Yeah.
Like they actually it could be an interesting division next year.
But Tampa has no Tom Brady anymore. And they're rolling the dice with Baker Mayfield out here. And
not about Tampa. You still had 3 7-10 teams. And yeah,
but one of them is the team that has the top nine pick that we're talking about in Carolina. That's what I'm saying. Right. Like, I think the thing is, right, like Bears fans, I feel like they think that there's going to be this leap in the draft capital for next year, right? Like, I feel like they feel like this is going to be a top five pick that we just traded for. I don't think that's realistic. I think we'll be lucky if we get back at 9 again. Like, honestly, with what we traded, which is not bad, right? You get the 9th pick overall. You're still doing good. You traded the first overall pick. You get DJ Moore. You got the 9th this year. Maybe you get the 9th or 10th next year. But I think the real question is, right, if you fall outside of that ninth pick, outside of that 10th pick, was this worth it? Because now you're talking about, right, if they make the playoffs and they actually went around, you're talking about picking 15th. You're talking about picking 16th somewhere in there.
I mean, that's not bad.
It's always worth it. I think it's worth it simply because you get the trade. You get to still use it as a piece to trade up.
Man, I need my...
If you need to.
I need my Negro Domus hat so I can switch it.
Yo, what? And
nah, switching between the...
Whatever kid was just saying. Forget whatever kid was just saying.
All I heard him say was, it's worth it. And then he just popped out and said that.
Like, it was worth it. I just... No, because...
Hey, it's a just, Friday for you, boy.
Hey, Joe just jumped on. Joe ain't been on here, so he said, I'm going to get my talking points in while I can. Kid, what you think, man? What you think?
My time to shine.
I think it's one of those things where the biggest regret may be how good the QB that gets drafted this year looks, ultimately. And I think that's really what the article was saying, because remember, they didn't have the Bears as a playoff team in that thing.
No.
They had the Packers as a playoff team. And they had, who's the other one in our division? The Lions as a playoff team.
The Lions and the Packers, yep.
They didn't have us as a playoff team. So I think that goes to show you how they feel about the Chicago Bears offense.
Well, like, I think the biggest regret
would be there. And then also the fact that Carolina may be better since they projected them as a playoff team. I'm trying to read between some lines right here. But I mean, like why would they not have us as the
Playoff team. I think the Bears will win 7 to 8 games possibly, and they won't make the playoffs.
You think Green Bay is going to be better than us?
No, I think Minnesota.
No.
I think Minnesota.
Minnesota, I can live.
Yeah, I think Minnesota. This article, you also have to take into account, right? This article has 3 NFC North teams making it to the playoffs. I don't buy it.
Which isn't, yeah.
I don't buy it.
That does count.
I don't think that the NFC is going to has that much of a fall off that they're... The Packers are going to find their way back into the playoffs. I don't buy that in the slightest.
I think...
Why not?
I think what it is...
They're going to be better than the Vikings or the Lions to get in as a wild card?
The Lions, for sure, who had a great offseason so far.
I think people are discounting... Well, look, I'm not planting my flag here for Jordan Love, but the guy's been sitting for how long? And they practically have the same team.
Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs.
Like,
and they still got all the defensive pieces.
They pretty much have everything. So, I mean, if it's scary to think that they're not going to be a 13-3 team, but they could be essentially a 10-win team. Like the Lions and the Packers, I think everybody's kind of even. It's the reverse of the NFC South, where they're 7-10. We might have a couple of 10-7. Season win teams over here.
Yeah, but if you have 2 10-7 teams with the I'm assuming Vikings and Lions, we thinking that don't put the Bears in the playoffs, right? That don't put the Packers in the playoffs. So
I think it's a dog fight is my point, and we don't know because where are we at with the schedule? Like we don't know
how it falls. We know the divisions they play. They're playing in certain divisions. But even with that, right, like how it falls is going to be important. The fact that the Lions have a tougher schedule coming into this season is going to make a bit of a difference, right? The Lions look great this season playing a third-place schedule. Guess who else got the benefit of that having a 12-win season? The first-year Matt Nagy Bears, and then they had to play first-place teams, and it was like, hey, this is harder.
So you really don't have us as a playoff team, even though, like, clearly were, like, tanking.
No, the NFL, it is the easiest to go from worst to first. Now, Justin Fields could come out and absolutely sling the football and turn this Bears team into a playoff team, and I could be 100% wrong. But I think that the Bears are taking steps incrementally because Ryan Poles is doing this the long, drawn-out way. I think that you're taking steps incrementally to get yourself back into the playoffs because Ryan Poles is saying, I'm not going for the quick hit. I'm not going for the big name right off the bat. I'm going for, let's build this thing through the draft. Let's build this thing long-term. When you're building something long-term, building through the draft a lot of times, you have to have a lot of major pieces in the draft. Hey, you have to have like a Chicago Bears. What year was that? Was that 80, 82? What year did they have that like massive draft where they got basically, it was 79?
Oh, well, 70.
No, 79 when they got all the draft capital. That was the Super Bowl team. What year was that? I don't know. I'm not that old.
Walter Payton was 70.
I think the reason I'm questioning it because what do we have, like 6-1 score games?
Yeah,
Yeah, and it's like we got the right pieces now to avoid that situation.
Yeah,
I think.
And so now, like, if you sit there and you split that, and then you look at the evolution of our, you know, offensive weapons, what we believe Justin will be. I mean, it might not be pretty, but I definitely think we can smack the Packers, though.
I think we can smack the Packers.
That's what I was going
to
say.
They'll be able to beat the Packers. I think this is primarily them just trying to hype up Jordan Love.
I do think Jordan Love got wheels, though.
No. Jordan Love has the tools. It just depends on what he learned from Aaron while he was sitting back. I do think, however, in the NFC South, The Panthers won't even be remotely close to making the playoffs. Just off of the simple fact that if Derek Carr is who kid says he is, then the Saints should be there. The Saints should be there. And I'm not sleeping on Baker because now Baker yet again has an offensive line. He's got two guys on the offensive line. He's got his weapons, so you might see a resurgence from Baker if he comes in, chills out, just keeps his head down and does what he has to do. They primarily still got their weapons as well. I don't see the Panthers making the playoffs. So I do think the Bears will still get that pick. But as far as the Bears making the playoffs, I think I still got them and the Lions 1-2, but I don't put the Bears over the Lions. I just can't do it.
Well, man, first off, Kyle Trask is starting over Baker Mayfield.
What?
I hope so. I don't think he is. No, he's not.
No, he is not.
Hey, Steph, move 2 inches to your right, brother. You done slid out the camera again. He done made his point and just slowly slid.
Hey, I think that what this is really talking about is that pick turning into a top five pick and supposedly Marvin Harrison Jr. Is, you know, it's really about who's coming out. That's what this is about.
That's next year. Marvin Harrison Jr. be next year. And I think that's the player that we really are sitting here talking about. Can the Bears get Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yesterday.
Hey, Marvin Harrison Jr. be catching footballs like, I caught it.
Yeah, that's really what this is about. Will we be able to get that type of high impact player? Can we get that Jamar Chase type guy to pair him up? But I don't know, dude. When I look at our room for the receiver room, I mean, I think this is the kind of room you want, a balanced receiver room all the way across the board. And the interesting thing is, to be honest, I think the Bears, I don't think this is going to go as slow, like, oh, they're going to barely make the playoffs. They actually could, because that's what Kid was saying. Justin Fields is dynamic enough from what we've seen. If he's able to just really bring in like a 3,000-yard passing arsenal to go with that 1,000-yard rushing, he can score like 20, 30 touchdowns, you know, because he can use his legs to extend those plays. And if now you got guys that are catching the ball at key moments that we watched those heartbreaking moments last year.
Yeah.
And now we got two tight ends.
Yeah.
So my thing is like, look, I want them to draft the running back, honestly, because that offense – well, no, my point is you can sustain – the defense is not going to be that great. It's still going to be average, but you can at least sustain drives and run that clock out. That's all. Looking at how San Francisco and the Packers offenses ran, we're running that two running back type, you know, scheme anyways. The zone running. Look at Pat's face. It's like, I'm just saying, you know, but I'm not a genius.
Pat doesn't believe in drafting. Or paying a running back at all. Listen, as soon as you say running back, I'm like seventh rounder.
Because
the NFL and history is on my side. That's why. NFL and history is on my side.
Let me tell y'all.
Go get Zeke.
It's fifth.
You know why?
Fifth is fifth unless it's Derrick Henry. It's fifth unless it's Derrick Henry.
Bro, listen. The Bears had an opportunity. The Bears were talked about trading for Derrick Henry this year, and I literally said no, because you're not a running back away.
What was that?
Now, I would love it, right? The fan here's the thing. I can separate the fan in me and what I actually want the team to do. Yeah. The fan in me, like, you can't tell me that wouldn't be excited. Derrick Henry and Justin Fields in a backfield.
Oh, my God.
You don't know what's going to happen. Even if he throw a screen pass, you can fake a screen pass, run to the left. You can hand the ball. Like, it would be music. But Derrick Henry makes $16 million this year.
I was about to say, that cap hit hard. Than pause.
Listen. That's like bringing back. That's like bringing Jimmy Butler back to the Bulls this year. Yeah, or next year. You know what I mean? Like $45 million, a lot of money. When I gotta look at you.
My point, the only reason I agree with you for the most part about the running back situation, it's just that if Bijan looks like one of those top tier dudes, that
Bijan's that guy.
I think he's that guy, but also typically when they draft a running back, they typically run them right in the ground. Like when they get drafted. And this is, I think from the ground up, this is almost like Dallas Cowboy-ish, where you're kind of got the rookie quarterback with the Emmitt Smith, with the, you know, like all at the same time, versus he's now the workhorse guy that gets running the ground, and he's running for, you know, what is it? 300 carry, what is the number? You know, 2,000 yards rushing, and he's barely made through his rookie year. Like, I don't think we have to work him that hard.
Well, I mean, I think the thing is, right, like Zeke's legitimately one of the greatest college running backs I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. He just got cut.
Yeah, but after what, 8 years?
But bro,
he ain't been productive for three.
Yeah, but that's also Ezekiel Elliott. Like, he's not. Yeah. But I don't know if Bijan is closer to like on the Adrian Peterson side of, you know, like wanting to play football and dominating versus me. Zeke is just. I mean, he's done a lot of boneheaded stuff.
But you got to show me. You know, listen, I'll be wrong more times than I'll be right. When it comes to taking a running back, I'll take a running back in the first round if I got nothing else I'm worried about. If I look at the rest of my team and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, we need one more impact player, and that ain't it.
You're minimizing him.
And not to be in defense of Ezekiel Elliott, but they did like pay him and then like lose their line. And it was like, all right, nah, you can't pay the running back and not have
lose
a line.
What line?
No, he got hurt.
Like they didn't have their line available, so then like he looked real bad for like two seasons. Because
Tony Pollard, but he's not good in them two seasons.
His skill, but see, Ezekiel Elliott is a downhill runner type guy. We're talking about this. Bijan is potentially, you're talking like a McCaffrey, a receiving
McCaffrey, type of running back. Saquon in that area.
Yeah, like that's what we're talking about. It's the fit for the scheme, and I think he fits that scheme.
The only issue with that is the fact that Justin was second in QB hits. Like that's my issue. If the line was sewn up, then I'd be right with you. I'm taking that 10 out of 10. Like the offense should be putting up at least 25 to 27 a game. And the defense would be solid enough, but Justin was second in quarterback hits, and you need Justin Upright to win these games at the end of the day. So I mean, as much as I like Bijan, and I was the first person to tell Pat about Bijan before the draft even started, and he's
Steph
actually
love
good.
Bringing me a running back.
And he's actually good in pass protection.
Steph Love bringing
but
him running back.
Second and quarterback hits. That's all I'm saying.
Because that's all Steph's team has had.
That's all our team has had. listen. But you know where you can find them, guy? I just love the sentiment that, like, you have to have this dynamic running back in a league that literally tells you, like, we just don't care about these mugs.
I didn't say that.
I'm just saying, like, you don't take if the league don't care about a player, you don't take that player in the first round. Like, they literally don't care about running backs.
I will say this though, the best systems in the NFL have that dual threat scheme, and they rely on their running backs heavy, whether even as like an additional receiver.
I didn't say you didn't have to have one. You gotta have a running back. I just think that they're a position that I've seen 100 yards separate a dude that was taken third overall versus a dude that was taken in the fifth round. That's just what it is, realistically.
I mean,
right?
Jordan Howard did that his first year with Zeke.
That's what I was going to say.
Jordan Howard did that his first year with Zeke. I mean, we've seen this multiple times. Guess what? David Montgomery was a back that we couldn't get rid of this offseason, right? You got to re-sign him. He's a leader in the locker room. He's an impact player. He was a fifth-round pick. Yeah, I mean, like, you can find – this is running back you, right? Nothing changed. Remember, we couldn't move on from – Roquan Smith, because how will we ever find another impact player? Tremaine Edmonds. Oh, God. How'd we? Well, this guy knows how to find linebackers. Of course we do. That's all we got. We got nothing.
That's all we've ever done.
But linebackers, defensive linemen, and running backs.
Yeah, but
that's actually a good segue, though, because I know we're going to beat this running back thing to pure hell.
Like, hey, we're going to beat it just like a running back is getting beat down out here. You know what I mean?
Pause.
I'm going to let you slide.
Pause. That's crazy. Before you do that, let's pay some bills real quick. We do want to make this transition. Also, we do want to tell you guys to like the video if you haven't done so. We got 64 people up in this mug. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, man. We are live daily, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., breaking down the show. You also can listen to the podcast over on any podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're on Google Podcasts, all that good stuff. I think we're on Amazon Podcasts as well. I didn't even know we was over there. I didn't even know we was over there. So shout out to y'all. But hey, we do got to tell you guys about a really, really special group that is working with us, company that is working with us, man. Because listen, man, sometimes you just want to hold on. Let me full screen this real quick. I don't even think Joel's seen these yet right here, because he'll be watching the show. But hey, man,
I'm watching it.
You want to go out, you know what I mean? Hey, man, you ever want to go out, right? You're going out before a game, maybe they take you to a nice restaurant. You don't want to be out there full jerseyed out at a nice restaurant, right? So you got a nice bomber jacket getting you through to dinner. You just throw that over, maybe a little, you know, regular t-shirt, but you still want to show your fandom at the game. That's where goat coats come in, because bam, stop playing with, look at this 23 MJ, what's good, baby? Chicago Bulls jersey on the inside, man. Goat Coats is an amazing company that allows you to be modest, but also model your fandom wherever you go. The one thing that I love about Goat Coats is these jackets are 100% reversible as well. So if you want to wear the jersey on the outside when you get to the game, you absolutely can. And you can get these jerseys in the name and or jersey of any player you want. They have them in the NFL, NBA, NHL. The hockey ones are crazy, actually. It's like a hockey sweater. It's actually mad fire. So you got to get in tune with all of that, man. Go over to goatcoats.com. And here's the best part. For a limited time, you can use the promo code WINDYCITY to get 5% off your order of a single item, or use the promo code WINDYCITY2 for the purchase of two items or more to get 15% off. Make sure you guys go over to goatcoats.com. It's the reason that we here at The Breeze believe these are Chicago merch, the way Chicago fans feel.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get that professional ad read by Pat.
Boom.
Pat's getting better at this, you know?
I've been doing this a little while, bro. Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this a little while.
Yeah, you still up. Anyway.
shout out to Chef Mac real quick. $2 super chat. Appreciate you for chiming in, supporting the channel monetarily like that. Says Bijan is going to the Eagles, I feel. Hey, the Eagles better get somebody.
They lost a lot of people.
The Eagles better get somebody. The Eagles just said, hey, we give up.
Hey, nah, if Bijan go over there with Jalen, that's a problem.
That's scary.
But why wouldn't it be scary?
Let me play quarterback real quick, because I have no idea who this guy is. So I'm going to go ahead and let you all speak on it. So topic, as we move on, Bears signed defensive lineman Rashad Green.
Great. All right, let's talk about the running back.
I mean, we got to talk about room. It's the latest addition to the Bears.
Yeah, Bears getting back in free agency.
It's depth. Great. All right. You know, okay. We still need four starters on the defensive line. You know,
so was it just me when I was just like, I mean, I heard about him, but I was like, I don't see it. Like,
it's depth.
It's a depth move. He's a potential starter on your team, depending on what you do. He's more of a seven technique than anything else, but he can be play that three technique position. I don't know, man. It is like he said.
Does it move the needle for the Bears? Just another guy you don't have to draft for.
You still got to draft for. You still got to draft for him, in my opinion. But I think Rasheem Green's going to be a nice piece. Here's the thing that I love about it, though. This is the reason that I wanted to bring it to the show. Another 1 year deal. I love how Ryan Poles is setting this team up to move forward. You got to have vets on your team, right? He talked today, literally, or was it today or yesterday, something, where he was on the second, what? Oh man, I want to be able to give credit to the podcast because it was actually really good. The second act podcast, I want to say, with Peanut Tillman. I want to make sure I'm saying this right. NFL Players Second Acts. Yeah, okay. With Charles Tillman and Roman Harper. And he was literally talking on that about how the first move he made last year was to go get Larry Ogunjobi. Didn't end up working out. But he was trying to add a veteran presence to this Chicago Bears team. That's why I feel like this is important, right? Because I don't expect Rasheem Green to be this huge impact player. But I like that he's bringing these guys in literally on a, hey, just come in here, make sure everybody's kind of in the right spot. Make sure guys aren't getting out of line. Make sure that we have the culture built up into this room. That's what I feel like a lot of these one-year deals are for these guys that are 29, 30 years old. Hey, you got to have veterans in the league. You got to have veterans on the team. The Chicago Bears led the NFL in first and second year player snaps. I will guarantee you this. Talent aside, more of the Bears being a three-win team is because of that than the fact that we lost Roquan, than the fact that we lost Allen Robinson, the fact that we lost Robert Quinn, because when you don't have a veteran presence on your team, you don't know how to navigate the NFL. We've seen that clearly time and time again. You don't know, right? Like, okay, we're in this situation. I've never been in this situation in an NFL game. The pressure is crazy. What do I need to do? Maybe don't play up on Tyreek Hill. Maybe that's not the move. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe, right? Like you've never been in these situations before. You don't know how to attack these situations. So I love how he's bringing in guys on these like one-year deals just to even help out, right? Like the veteran guys, I think about the fact that Robert Quinn was on the team all up until Braxton Jones didn't need him anymore. People still talk about how Robert Quinn's agility, how his ability to get past a defensive lineman, the moves that he used. They say Braxton Jones said he had a move where it's like a up hitch and then like a smack to get you out of position. He was like, nobody else in the NFL does this move. And literally everybody says that. And it's something that Braxton Jones was able to kind of develop and try and figure out how to do. You know what I mean? So I like these kind of moves. I like bringing in guys that have been in the league before.
Well, what's interesting is how do we know that maybe there's a diamond in the rough, kind of like an Akeem Hicks? You know, when our previous administration signed some guys, you're like, okay. And then this guy ends up being like a motor, the motor of the defense, actually. So I think to your point too, like just from all the talk of the draft and, you know, Jalen Carter, you wonder if one of the other issues is that, like, if we had that veteran presence to help, like we get this young pup, because he seems to have some immaturity issues, right? To have someone next to him to help versus hiring, bringing him in to be that guy. And he's not necessarily in the position to take that role. And maybe that's what's happening. We don't have the guys that maybe help bring him along. So they might be a shift in the draft, which is that. That's why my thing is not to necessarily beat the running back topic to death about it. But my point is that we get that type of player, but also the fact is that we could keep the defense off the field because we can you know, keep the, if we got three, now you're talking about three running backs with Dante Foreman and Herbert, and then we got this guy. Like, the defense is not going to be fixed in 1 year.
Yeah. Well, I think to me, right, like, I think you can, you better have to attack this line, though, right? Like, that's why getting guys in here that have been in the NFL for multiple seasons it does help you. That's why getting guys that have, you know, more of a career than just one season, two seasons in the NFL does help you, because now you're adding that veteran depth to your defensive line. Adding depth to your defensive line is very, very, very important. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that that's where your focal point of the rest of your talent is going to be able to come from. That's where the focal point of having Tremaine Edmonds, having TJ Edwards, having Jack Sanborn is actually going to be impactful to me, right? Like, I've said this a bunch of times on this show. I love what a lot of the Bears DBs and linebackers have been in their history, but it doesn't happen if you don't got guys that can't sack the quarterback.
You know, to interject there, it's Rasheem Green.
Rasheem.
Well, I'm not going to bust you out on that text message. But anyways, he had 6.5 sacks when he was a full-time starter, which that works, you know, for depth rotation.
People could get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Which we didn't do a good job of last season. I also like the fact that it's a one-year deal. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, all right, why would you just do a one-year deal? Like, Post has structured a lot of one-year deals, and it's really because the free agency next year is pretty deep. Like,
because you don't expect these muds to be here.
He had three and a half people available for next season. So it's like you give yourself the best opportunity to see, hey, these are like prove it deals, as they say. See if this works out, we go long term. If not, I have my exit route, which is that's the best thing about Poles that I like. He's given himself an escape route every single deal on every single position.
He's playing chess.
Whether you like it or not. He's done it with quarterback. He's doing it with all the other skill positions. He's given himself, I mean, the ones that we've signed long term, those guys deserve long term contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had three and a half sacks last year.
He's a nice vet piece that you want to add to your team. I don't think that he's a long-term piece for you. I think that, right, like when you look at that 2021 Seattle defense, that defensive line was, is that 2020 or 2021? When it 2021, their defensive line was nice, right? Like they were able to attack. They were able to get to the quarterback in a good manner. So, right, like he's able to benefit off of that. You see when he was on Houston and he had to be kind of that lone wrecking piece, the sacks went down a little bit.
Two shutdown corners, too.
Yeah, so I think that, right, like, he's a nice piece to have. I don't think that this is this isn't our Akeem Hicks signing. This isn't this is the guy that's going to be the focal point here. It might be a little bit of an insight, right? Like, this might actually be a little bit of an insight into what the Bears plan on doing in the draft, because we've talked about the Bears basically going out and getting a three technique. How much this, like, it's literally been you need one. Like, it's the one thing that you need for this defense to work. And he can play the three technique. So maybe this is he's 25. It's a 1 year deal. Again, a vet presence on the defensive line. Maybe you're hoping he can get back to that 6.5 sacks, that he had in Seattle, but maybe this is a sign of, we're probably not going three technique and we have to have somebody that plays that position here. Maybe this is telling us that they are going to go either receiver or offensive lineman at nine. Yeah. And they're going with more of a project at that defensive line later on in the draft.
I think what it is too, if nothing else, especially for this year, because Kid talked about the exit route thing and him signing all these guys to these 1 year deals. If the Panthers don't make the playoffs next season, and let's just say that pick is top five, what Joe said, right, the wide receiver room is already pretty good. You may get a top five defensive piece next season. You may be able to get a top five defensive piece next season. So you may never really know. I'm right along the lines with Kid. I really like what Paul is doing, because – If it's not going to be this year and Jalen Carter's got questions and you don't go out and you get And you don't go out and you get the what is the
Kalijah Kancey?
Kalijah
out of Pittsburgh. And, yeah, he a dog, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah, if you don't get Kalijah Kancey and the it was another one on the list from the other day. I keep his name is slipping me. Right,
offensive
now.
Or defensive?
Defensive.
Tyree Wilson.
Yeah, if you don't get Tyree Wilson, you get a Paris Johnson. Next season, also there might be a guy. That you feel like is top five material to fit into this into the middle of this defensive line, yeah, with those vet presences, so they'll be able to bring them along. So I mean, I feel like these are good problems to have, and it's a W all the way around for Poles. Poles absolutely knows what he's doing right now.
He's in a good situation. I think this is one of those things where we have, because we know that he's playing 3D chess at this point, we feel good about this project. We also know that, hey, if it don't work, it's only for a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. So
don't worry, it's for a short time, not a long time.
Listen, this is gonna be you're here, you're gone. All right, anyway, so but we have
what's that Simpson meme of his the granddad coming into Moe's bar, putting the hat up, and then walking right back out.
Nope.
last 15 minutes, y'all, we got to shift to some NBA, and it's actually we didn't have this topic on the docket, but I gotta bring it up because
I was gonna say, you just gonna skip over Tyree talking about retirement?
Yeah, bro,
yeah, because he don't play for the Bears or the Bulls. I mean, and we got good Bears and Bulls content to get out, and then we got
Bulls content.
Okay,
we got Bulls content.
You ready for it? I don't know if people realize this, but today's game actually means a lot. Like, this game, people really have to play for. Both teams are fighting for the last play-in spot.
No, they're not. The Bulls already have it. Clint.
Well, both teams are. The Dallas Mavericks are fighting.
The Dallas Mavericks are fighting for the last play-in spot. Or if they don't get it, they have an 80% chance of keeping their pick.
Oh, they're going to keep that pick. Hey, that pick is done.
That pick is picked. And that's how we pivot off of that topic.
Hey, quick. That pick is picked. Hey, do you want to play in the play-in or do you want to get the pick?
Yeah, I take the pick. I don't think they re-signed the Kyrie either.
No, I think they are.
I don't think they're re-signing Kyrie because that just went down with Mark Cuban.
Oh my God, we're struggling because Jalen Brunson's father got involved.
You can't be out here exposed in agents' text messages between you and your GM. And
I was like,
well, prepare to never have a free agent come to Dallas again, Mark. Good job.
That's always been Mark Cuban, though. Mark Cuban is one of the most transparent owners in NFL. I mean, NBA.
Hey, bro, I don't know. I don't know if
and they love to. He ain't
never just openly exposed.
Yeah, nah.
Meetings that were supposed to be going down between an agent and like that's wild. Like you putting that out to the media. My client and the GM of the team are talking about? Nah, bro.
I think realistically, he did it in protection of Kyrie and stuff like that because of the narratives. Everyone was like, you did this when you could have kept him. And it was like, well, that's just not how it unfolded. And bro, he's being very transparent about that. And so now here's the thing. And this has always been Mark Cuban. Him being as transparent as he is has always ruffled feathers. He's always been one of the most controversial owners in the NBA since he's started the team. Hey, like
he also never get free agents.
Hands on. hey, bro, remember when they was getting DeAndre Jordan?
Listen, he also never gets free agents, bro.
Supposed to get DeAndre Jordan.
Like, we're not saying different things here. I'm just saying it's going to get worse.
I don't think so. Man.
What free agent is going to Dallas?
I can't name the last one. He's traded for all his talent.
He couldn't name the last one like they couldn't name a Joe Budden song.
Ooh,
Tyson Chandler. Wow, you're talking
Tyson Chandler, probably. I mean, the last person that was like an impact player in the NBA that literally was like, I kind of want to go there. It's probably Tyson
DeAndre
Chandler.
Jordan, but he changed his mind.
Well, DeAndre Jordan didn't go.
He did change his mind. I remember.
Yeah, no, he changed his mind.
he's like always really close, but like somebody come in and make a deal that they just can't really. Because I remember, I think it was Jimmy.
Hey, no, nah, I will
somebody
say
was going down.
I will then. Say this. I will say this. I think that's his marketing. I ain't gonna lie to you. I think that's his. I think he be knowing he ain't getting deals, so he be like, "Gas up the jet, let's fly out there, and we're not gonna get in his house." I ain't gonna lie to you, dog. That happened too many times. How many stories we got about Mark Cuban flying to somebody's crib and they won't let him in to talk to him? We had him. I was holding his hand while he had the pen, but Doc Rivers was punching me in the face while he was not allowing him to sign. Like, come on, bro. It's too many stories of that. I'm not buying it no more, bro. Like,
I don't know. Yeah. But for some odd reason, he seems to have a winning franchise, though.
Fair. Like, every free agent story. They draft well. They do draft well. Look, they drafted Jalen Brunson. They drafted
Luka. Pretty much from Dirk to Luka.
To Luka. I mean. But bro, like it's just one of them things where, bro, like no lie, every free agent story around Mark Cuban feel like it's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie from the 80s, bro. It's just like, we came in helicopters blazing. I jumped out. I could see Jamal Murray in my sights, but then Mike Malone shot me through the arm with an arrow, and I wasn't able to put the pen in the paper. It's like, bro, like this can't keep happening, bro.
You know what's funny about that, though? Woj will make it worse because he'd be like, "Oh man, heartbreaker for Dallas. They had him like right at the last second." Like, bro, like, hey, bro.
Dallas has lost every free agent buzzer beater in free agency history, bro.
Hey, it's literally they free agency be like the Kawhi shot, but like it continues to happen.
Oh god, that's so funny, dog.
Did they sign Jason Terry? Or was that a trade?
That's still all a those long time
all
ago,
his championship teams. That was
I think that was a trade. I think that was a trade.
Jason Kidd was to
Jason
get
Kidd was
Kidd
a signing.
Back?
Jason was Kidd a was signing. A signing, I believe. Nah, that's probably your best one.
Was that from New Jersey?
Hey, look. But then you signed him to be your head coach, and it was downhill from there.
But you got to think about it, for a team that never really gets that big time, you know, free agent. He's like you said, their draft process is phenomenal. So they haven't really had to focus on that. Like, you gotta think about it. He's drafted three or four Hall of Famers?
He should have more than what he does.
I don't know if Mark was a part of all of them. Mark wasn't a part of, he's only drafted Luka.
Yeah, I think
Luka probably go to the Hall. We can give him that.
No,
but
he drafted Dirk, didn't he?
No. He wasn't the owner yet.
And what's funny, and that was also a trade.
That's 1998.
Yeah, and that was also a trade, by the way, because Milwaukee drafted Dirk, and then
dang, bro, Dirk to Giannis is yo.
Well, Dirk didn't play much. I don't think he played at all for Milwaukee.
I know, but I was just saying.
Well, they're all projects. No one really thought that. I mean,
back then, drafting an international player was a gamble, because that for every Dirk Nowitzki, there was a Darko Milicic.
Oh man, that's crazy. But I mean, they should have way more free agents than they do, because like no state income tax. I mean,
bro, listen. If I'm gonna go down to Dallas and play for a basketball team, it's not gonna be the one in Dallas.
It's gonna be Houston.
I wouldn't be them either. Like, yeah, I'm gonna go to the Spurs. That's still Pop.
I don't know if I want.
Pop, we gotta stop saying that. Pop is not.
Pop is like Bill Belichick right now. I'm gonna tell you this right now.
I don't think let them get Victor Wembanyama.
Watch how many people go down there. Let them get Victor Wembanyama. See, this is the thing. Pop is actively like, "No, you can't come here. Go away." Go, like, they literally had talented players. And they was like, "Please leave." Like, Jakob, go. DeJounte, leave. What you trading me for? A bag of balls, like, and a dead dog.
A bag of balls and a dead dog.
That's what we trading you for. We want to bury the dog in San Antonio. You know what I mean? Like, so they not doing nothing. Like, I guarantee you, you get Victor Wembanyama on that team, after that first year, Pop going to coach him, all of a sudden, they going to be back in the free agency market.
Well, I think wherever Victor goes, that's everybody's going. It doesn't matter.
I don't know if I want him to do that, bro. Like,
Y'all just ready for Pop to retire so he can ride off on the sunset and actually not have these losing seasons?
I actually want
seasons?
Him to retire. He has no reason.
He's
done everything. He's won five chips. He lost his wife. Like, hey Pop, he's losing his hair.
Jesus Christ. Like, what the heck? Why was that the...
I don't even look at it like that.
Why was that the addition?
No,
you got to look at it. Like, he's at that point where it's like, yo.
Jesus.
It's cool,
bro.
You just gotta left that part out. That was right. He's done everything. He's won championships. Yo. He's lost his wife. What?
Yeah, that's the criteria. You're right.
Like, Pop is at the point where it's just
lost
like,
your
yo.
Wife.
Yeah. It's like, yo, go enjoy.
Raging. You gotta relax.
Calm down.
Good Lord, kid. That was a tough one.
It's like the facts of life right there.
He's trying to say he's been through a lot.
It's just not how he said it like he was going to list all these accolades, and the second thing he mentioned was my man's losing his wife.
Even kid knows it's tough.
He had to come out.
Since that happened, though, Pop has not been the same coach. He should be expected to be.
It's just the fact that you listed championships, losing his hair, and his wife. That was a part of the career.
Y'all making it seem like I'm trying to be disrespectful to Pop, but I'm not.
That's how I felt.
You gotta chill, bro.
You're trying to make me feel bad. I don't. But he's trying to make me feel bad.
Crazy.
Have you lost a loved one? You're definitely
bro. Have you won an NBA championship and lost a loved one? Good Lord.
This man about to be a dog.
Have you lost your hair in the process?
Have you lost your hair on the way?
I mean,
the fact that Doc won't let the hair go is crazy. I'm not gonna lie to you. Doc out here looking like Beethoven.
But see, that's the reason why they got Lawrence Fishburne for the
Lawrence Fishburne for the what?
Nah, for the they got a Clipper you did coming out.
Oh my god,
Clipper
bro.
Documentary. Lawrence
oh
Fishburne.
Oh my god, bro, we gotta. Hey, listen, we got 5 minutes left, bro. What's going on with all these docs, bro?
It's gonna be.
What's going on with his daughter?
Might be in one of those X scenes.
Relax.
Okay, you're relax.
Okay. You're done. He going to people's daughters out here.
Oh, jeez. How'd your wife? How'd your kids? Oh, Lord. Oh,
man.
Time out. She put herself out there like that. Ain't got nothing to do with me.
Jeez.
I'm just saying, like, LA is a wild place. Anyway.
Hey, listen, this man. Hey, and she looked like him. That's the worst part.
I don't even know what she looked like. That's crazy.
But yeah, bro, the doc's got to stop, bro. The doc's got to stop.
It really went
off the hill fast. Like, it was like winning time. And then just like, hey, we got to make a Clippers doc. First off, why are we making a Clippers doc?
We don't want a Clippers doc.
Because
of Donald Sterling. No one cares. Nobody cares. What story are you finna tell me? You finna have Selma Hayek play his girlfriend that exposed him, and then that's the end of the movie? Because that's all that went down. It was just like, he's racist. Get him out of here. I bet. Like, what are we doing? Like, we don't need a Clippers doc.
Winning Time is just a show. Like, they made that whole...
Winning Time was crazy, bro. Winning Time, yo.
Yeah, that's not... That's just a show, HBO show.
I just need Michael Jordan to sign off on doing a Bulls doc. I saw that we getting 48 hours in Vegas, but I need a full-on Bulls doc from, like, Jordan... pre-championship stuff. I don't want the championship years. Give me pre-championship. I just want to see what's going on with, like, Jordan walking in and Mush just doing cocaine and his hookers everywhere. And Jordan just walking out of the room because he was a good Christian boy from North Carolina. Jesus Christ. Oh, my ass. Like, okay, Jordan. Okay, Mike. Yeah, we believe you.
All right.
What topic for next time, though? Having to see the Air movie. And it's interesting the perspective of, was it the shoes that actually
that make you do what you do?
Push Michael to the levels that he went to based off the deal that he got, you know, because he got, I mean, we all know that he got like 10%. He makes 10% off the earnings, But it's like when you think about the type of money he ended up making in 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, like he was making serious money because NBA contracts, the most he ever made was $4 million before the TV money came in and he was making the 30. So it's like, it's interesting that the two worlds collide to make this like epic or like what is it? An eclipse where these two worlds come together to collide to make what ends up happening, which is history on top of him playing hard, but then correlating to the shoe contract. It's interesting.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I love that aspect of just like how Muggs was making money before like basketball was giving him like life-changing money. Like $4 million back then was life-changing money, but like
it's like 20
it wasn't
now.
It wasn't right,
economical
right.
Money at, yeah. In 84,
but like Muggs on one contract are getting like generational wealth now, where back then it was hey, you can blow this money real quick. Like
he's the first one to get that type of, everybody else just got a little pittance and they got a little salary, but based off his performance and his, you know, notoriety, that also turned into sales, you know. And it's just interesting, like maybe it was the shoes.
Now the real question is, does Viola Davis cry as Michael Jordan's mom in this movie?
I don't want to say that.
There's usually a good Viola Davis cry with like the snot's coming out. Bro, yeah. It's like a heavy tear. I've been standing right here with you, Troy. Oh my God, Jesus. Like,
I think the crazy thing about it is,
all you want to be is a football player.
This all would be if Magic took that Nike deal.
Oh, that's right. He did say that. Now that documentary was on with Apple.
Hey, Magic took Converse, bro.
Magic's trying to get paid right away. He was like, "Not giving me stock. I ain't want no stock."
Hey, bro.
Hey,
did you see what he said? How much his stock would be worth right now?
$6 billion.
Talk about an L. Talk about an L.
Hey, listen.
It's an L on two fronts. Why was y'all playing in Converse, Joe? That's the real question we got to ask y'all.
In the 80s, Converse was actually
Have you ever put on that Converse basketball shoe?
I never Converse ever.
It's a pair of leather Chuck Taylors, bro. Like, nah, it's still not a good shoe, bro.
Well, at the time, you got to think, at the time, it was one of the best shoes for them. That's why when people compare errors, I'd be like, dog, they was hooping in Stacey Adams. You can't sit there and tell me you better.
Bro, it wasn't even Stacey Adams, bro. They was hooping in them TJ Maxx specials out here, facts, bro. Like their mugs are terrible. But see, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, bro, like, ain't no way just because of the name, we just going to keep hooping in this shoe. Like, it wasn't a better shoe.
Dog, it was the best shoe they had until the Nikes hit.
I mean, it was the technology based on them developing that soul and the whole air that was like transforming the game. But other than that, it was just, you know, put a leather sole on it or the canvas, you know, material and keep it moving.
Tie that mug up to your kneecap like Leonidas in 300 and hope that your ankles don't snap off halfway through your career.
I think it was about Tinker Hatfield, and they were saying how they designed shoes. Their premise was to fix a problem, which I appreciated that they did something for helping people versus we're just making money. And so, you know, that's kind of the origin of Nike in a sense. Like, so when they started looking at like plantar fasciitis and they started putting arch support in, right? So it was interesting that, you know, the reason, you know, they ended up how they designed shoes for the purpose that they have now. Cause could you imagine just maybe what the technology would have been like for a lot of those players in the 60s and 70s? You know, cause how hard are you running on those on that court like that with those type of flash shoes? I could never hoop in those shoes.
That's why they look so slow. That's why they look so slow, because they have to sit there and you're going, like, if you look at Jerry West's 2-dribble pull up on a lot of them clips, it looks like he's about to slip. So if he's dribbling hard, 2-dribble stop pull up, which is the still one of the most unstoppable moves in basketball to this day. Kevin Durant, that's his 2-dribble pull up. Like, we finna could talk about
it. By the way, 9-0.
That's crazy. Yeah, they 9-0 right now.
So it's like if you really look at it, I hate when people do the whole era thing, because it's like that's the one biggest thing. The tech in the shoes. If you look at that, man, I put some Nikes on Jerry West.
I just love kids saying, I hate when people do the eras thing, but the first topic he brought that he want to break down as a series on the show is, let's do the GOATs.
Yeah, let's do the GOAT.
I said we got to do a GOAT pyramid because everybody does one and we've never done one.
Oh, you talking about like GOAT of GOATs?
No, I want to do it by position.
Oh, you talking about just NBA?
Just NBA. I just want to do it by position. I want to do it by position simply because I honestly think like...
Hey, listen, Wayne Gretzky's the GOAT. I don't care what nobody say. Out of all the GOATs, Wayne Gretzky's the GOAT.
What about my man Hamilton in Formula One?
Wayne Gretzky's the GOAT. Listen, kid, to everybody here. There are players that could break scoring records. They could break any record you want. And Wayne Gretzky would still have over 1,000 points on it, bro. They could break... First off, most people will never break Wayne Gretzky's record. If we ever see that player again, everybody here needs to stop and start watching hockey because that's how monumental that will be, bro. That's how amazing that will be. There is no GOAT. Michael Jordan's the greatest. No, Wayne Gretzky. Bam. The next closest man ain't close. Hey, listen. You know how LeBron like finally caught up on score? Like the next closest man ain't close, bro. How Chris Paul kind of close with steals? The next closest man ain't close.
You know what's crazy about LeBron?
LeBron playing two extra seasons and the next man won't be close.
But you know what's crazy that Kareem did that with no threes. And LeBron's doing that with threes and a bunch of Hall of Famers on the squad.
I mean, Kareem also had a bunch of Hall of Famers.
I can't give you that one, dog.
Why are they trying to skew that?
We're just going to move past this real quick. Like, nah, bro.
Move past the greatest point guard of all time. Just move clean past that guy. Like,
hey, bro, what just happened to Magic?
Hey, Kareem I only had one ring before Magic, and then all of a sudden he gets four. Just trying to figure out what changed there, Joe.
Like, I know. You're right. I'm sorry. But we're still talking about the first 10 years of his career. Plus, it was extended. I'll give you that. All I'm saying is...
You had the best assist in the world.
No. I'll give you that. But my point is that he did that on two-pointers, where LeBron, you got two and three. So it's just crazy to quantify like how crazy that was that Kareem could do that on two pointers.
I don't know how much Kareem was getting fouled every game, though. He might have been at the free throw line a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
He might have been James Harden at that job.
We had to look at his numbers.
I mean, considering that fouls back then was literally punches.
Hey, listen.
He could have been. I do want to hit on this Kevin Durant thing because the Suns are 8-0 with Kevin Durant in the lineup.
Are they 8-0 or 9-0?
Pat wanted to talk about it. Is it 8 or 9? I think it's 9 now.
I thought it was 9.
8-0 with
8-0, okay. All right, 8-0.
Oh, okay. 8-0.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen. Real question. Are the Suns, when healthy, the best team in the Western Conference? Because no. I don't see... I mean, listen, they've taken down all the best teams. Now, you got to do it in 7 games. It's a lot harder to do it in a 7-game series when a team gets the game plan for you, but they do have one of the most ungame planable players on their team. And Devin Booker, you can game plan for, but he can get around it as well. And Chris Paul, I mean, what you going to game plan for? Like, he a cone defensively, but that man going to find you in the right spots.
Man, that sounds like you about to say something else every time you say that. But anyway.
I'm rooting for the Suns. The whole problem is, will Chris Paul stay healthy? And he probably won't.
Nah, that's not my
issue. I think it's Kevin Durant. Will Kevin Durant stay healthy?
I think that this all really comes down to if DeAndre Ayton
is really
going to be tough enough down there when it gets down to it.
Yeah, yep. But that's like the same potential.
You can get him out of his game so easy, and for the rest of the game, this man if he's not locked in after the first 5 minutes, it's a wrap. We saw Giannis do that. Yeah, Giannis absolutely did that. Aiden was rolling as soon as they got to the finals, and he went up against Giannis. That man was crickets.
Yeah, but he is who he is. Like, I don't think it's gonna be on him. He is who he is. It's KD and will Chris Paul stay healthy? And the history shows that he can't make it.
History shows that he can't.
He can't. It's like, I mean, I want him to.
I mean, he was healthy for the finals, right?
He got hurt.
He broke his hand.
He played, but he was hurt.
Yeah.
And he wasn't as effective.
I mean, that's okay.
I want him to win.
Are you on the court in the finals? Like that's my thing. Are you on the court in the finals?
Pat, he said he couldn't dribble.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. Are you on the court?
Are you on the court in the finals? Sure. Are you effective? No. That's a big difference.
Hey, look, that's definitely a big difference. And I'm not saying that it didn't take away from what they were able to do, but yeah, most of these mugs ain't 100% healthy going into the NBA finals. It's a long season. You rolled ankles, jammed fingers. He's never healthy.
He's never healthy.
Listen, his hamstring, his knee. I agree with y'all. I'm just saying that the one time we saw him make a run, he was good to get them to the finals, and now you have Kevin Durant. Listen, I've told y'all many a times, I think a lot of people put Chris Paul in a place where he don't belong. Chris Paul is not a top five point guard all time. Chris Paul is not one of the greatest point guards. No, I shouldn't say that. That's too much. He is one of the greatest point guards to ever touch a basketball. I'm not going to say that. But he's not Isaiah. He's not Magic. He's not, and Muggs want to put him in
a traditional point guard.
Muggs want to put him in that conversational point guard, and he's not that.
Yeah, but he's not necessarily has to be the scorer like Magic, Isaiah. Like the way they run their scheme.
Magic was the facilitator.
No. But that scheme for what Magic did worked for him because of his size and the way he could set up his team, that fast break style. Isaiah's team, the way that coaching, that style was set up for them. How Chris Paul, the way he plays his game is not predicated for like how those guys play.
Chris Paul ain't John Stockton.
See, I would put him more in that realm because he's more in that realm.
John Stockton is the second piece to help get two teams to an NBA Finals. Chris Paul ain't really been able to get one team to an NBA final.
And neither one of them won one.
Yeah, because they ran into Michael Jordan. Like, I get that. But he got there. Hey, look, but he got there. Chris Paul literally on the Clippers got all the help he needed.
But Stockton didn't get to the finals till he was an old man, too. They were all old by the time they got to the finals.
Yeah, the West was crazy.
Stockton also had the second or third greatest power forward to have ever played, along with a bunch of things.
He also got it.
That Utah Jazz team would have smacked that Clippers team.
And the thing is, like, Chris Paul had David West on the horns.
That's NBA versus this NBA. I'm just talking about one player helping his team get to a finals versus another player who couldn't get his team out of the second round.
Yeah, so.
Actually, to be honest, to the second round.
Well, he had no, because when you have a leading scorer in Karl Malone with John Stockton, Chris Paul had David West, who was a good guy. He was, 17, 10 kind of guy, maybe 20, and he got hurt. And then you got who else? Blake Griffin was more of a one-dimensional.
He played with James Harden.
I'm talking about Clippers.
The Clippers.
Exactly.
The Clippers, Chris Paul ran into a buzzsaw as well that's known as the Golden State Warriors. So, like,
the Clippers,
if you're going to give credit to John Stockton for making the finals, but then running into Jordan for not winning, Chris Paul ran into the team that ended up dominating the rest of the decade.
But kid, that's the second round versus the NBA Finals.
Yeah, so if this Jazz had played the Bulls in the second round, we wouldn't be talking.
But if the Jazz had played the Bulls
in the second round, they would have to be in the same conference.
The Jazz still got to the NBA Finals.
What I'm saying is, look at the talent they had to play to get there. To go through the West to get to that finals that season, they ran through that buzzsaw. You can't do anything about that. Like, the best teams that Chris Paul had to make a finals, they ran it to Golden State.
You could win.
We acted like that
Clippers team wasn't one of the favorites in the Western Conference.
They ran it
every year.
When they choked against the Rockets played the Warriors that year, right?
Yes.
Even with the Rockets. What was the only team that was available that was potentially going to beat the Warriors?
The Rockets.
And I guess you ran into better teams. Like, it just is what it is. Like, you can't, no one's going to pick the Clippers over the Houston Rockets that year. No one's, no, like, they had them as a favorite to go. They had them as a top team.
The Clippers were a favorite to make the NBA Finals almost every one of them years.
I'm talking about the year they choked it. They choked it because that's when Josh Smith and because I think Dwight was on the bench, and Josh Smith was teeing up from three. I think that's the year that one of the years.
So y'all got the whole point of it. Y'all got Chris Paul top five?
No. We had a conversation about this, but no.
I think it's close.
You mean top five point guard or
top five point guard?
No.
Oh, I could put him.
I could go with top five point guard.
At five, you know, I'm putting Jason Kidd and Magic.
I'm putting Jason Kidd over him.
Yeah,
I'm putting Jason Kidd over him. Magic is over him.
I guess we have to put. Yeah. I feel like Steph Curry's more of a shooting guard.
Stephen Curry's over. Whether we feel like that or not, he's a point guard. He's a point guard.
Zeke, Magic.
I'm looking at assists. If you're averaging,
he still averages eight assists, seven assists.
I need ten in my top.
Ten what? Isaiah Thomas don't average 10 assists.
I need 10 assists. Because I'm looking. Because
Isaiah Thomas is not a top five point guard.
Isaiah Thomas ain't a top five point guard.
I love
my players in his top five.
Because I love Rondo. Like, Rondo to me, underrated, is one of the
Joe
best.
Got Scott Skiles top five.
No, Isaiah Maybe. Thomas averaged 10
one game.
Isaiah Thomas averaged 10 assists doing his first, leading up to his first one.
In his career.
He's done it multiple times.
In his career, does he average 10 assists?
For a career, he got injured.
Does he average 10 assists?
No.
Okay.
I already said that. But he averaged 10 assists for nearly five seasons.
Okay.
Consecutively.
He said you have to average 10 assists for your career to be in his top five.
For me, in my top, you know, top 10, top five point guards, yeah.
Now, why would you do that, Joe?
Because
you're sitting here making a point that wasn't even being right. Like, you're out here trying to.
No, you're saying you stumped for Isaiah. I said that I'm putting Chris Paul in there. That's all I was saying.
Magic don't even average 10 assists.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are we talking about? 10 assists.
I think he's talking about doing his run.
That would like when I you know
not
what
his career doing his run
comeback and then we'll clarify this. Sorry.
That's a wild statement, Jay.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Kid trying to skew it to make it work, to make the argument work. No, bro. Like, these buds didn't average 10 assists for their career.
I thought he was saying that, hey, he was averaging.
I didn't say career. He said career. That guy over there said career. I just said if you can average 10 assists a game, maybe in a few of the seasons. I can't expect you to do 10 assists for your whole career. I mean, there's going to be drop-off.
I take that back. Magic does average 10 assists.
And this is how you pick him.
Magic averages 11 assists for his career.
But no, Joe, that was gross.
How was that gross?
Hey, hold on. Wait. To clarify, though, Magic averaged 11. Isaiah averages 9.3. He ain't.
Here go kid rounding up. Here go kid rounding up.
All right. Okay.
Give him the 0.7, baby. Come on.
Give him the 0.7.
Hey, what's 0.7 of an assist? Let's be real. How many points is that really?
I don't know, man. I don't know. That's funny, though. I ain't gonna lie to you.
But to get back to the initial topic, because we got way off.
Topic. Well, not really. We talk about Chris Paul, and that's what we talk about with the Suns.
I don't think the Suns are the team to beat.
Who you got?
I think Denver is still the team to beat. And I think the pressure is all on Denver. Like, you got to look at it. The Suns beat Denver last night, but they won by four, and none of the starters played.
No, yeah, and, for sure. Yeah,
you know, and I watched the game. They was hooping. Like, KD was out there trying. Like, you know, and I'm not saying that he couldn't go off for 50 anytime he wanted to, but within the flow of that game, no, they were taking that game seriously.
Yeah.
So, like, no, side note for all those Bulls fans that be like, oh, why do we do this? Why do we lose to bench players? Because the league has that much talent. Because
it's that much talent in the league.
It's that much talent now.
The bench players are still pretty good basketball players.
And the Suns struggled a little bit against the
Denver for at some point. Anyway,
I mean, they've also so only played eight games together, so they're still figuring it out too.
But they're so top heavy. They have they've depleted a lot of those bench pieces to get KD that would have kept them. Like, I'd feel more comfortable with those pieces coming off the bench. Like, if I ask the average fan now who's coming off the bench for the Suns, they probably only name Torrey Craig. That's about it.
Torrey Craig, Terrence Ross,
Okogie.
No, Okogie starts when I'm
out. He starts.
Oh, gross.
No, Okogie starts. Layman. And Layman. Yeah.
You see, what's but you're not the average fan.
I you should, because he hooked the Bulls up.
Did he say Christian Laettner? Is that what I just said?
So that's so top heavy that it's like in a playoff series.
Jake Layman. Jake Layman is his name. But he hooked the Bulls up.
I think they're going to make it interesting for any team they have to face. I think that's one of the things. Like, I feel like they're going to spoil championship aspirations for somebody, but I don't think this is their year because they don't have the depth now. I think that next season will be the season, and that's hard to say because you're like, well, what's going to happen with Chris Paul? And Chris Paul's been a shell of himself most of the season. So I'm looking at life without Chris Paul. I'm just solely focused on Aiden, KD, and Booker, which is a good three that kind of focus around. And to me, it's the Denver Nuggets. I think the pressure is on Jokic. Jokic has been in the running for MVP. I mean, three straight years. He's getting first place votes this season. Like, I'm going to put the pressure where the pressure belongs as the best team in the West with one of the best players who's going for MVP. Like, they're the team to beat. And if they don't get it done, it's a wasted opportunity for them because I don't see them getting any better.
I agree with that. I think the pressure is on Denver to win it. I think there's also an immense amount of pressure, more so just on Kevin Durant and Chris Paul out of anybody, because you look at, for me with KD, it's like, hey, bro, like, you want to be the Batman? You going to be Batman? And I feel like KD's very, very good at coming into a team and being like, I just fit here and I'm going to exist. I don't know if he can do that with this Suns team. This ain't Golden State.
He's Superman. He fits on every team.
He fits on every team. But the thing is, right, like, be Superman versus Doomsday. You know what I mean? Like, be that Superman. don't be Superman. You know, it's like, hey, man, like, you could have, like, saved a lot of people if you just didn't let this guy live.
I mean, Superman also got the brakes beat off him by Darkseid. So, I mean.
Hey, nah, not when he let go. That's one of my favorite moments. When Superman was just like, hey, listen. I'm done with you, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm finna show you what I really can do when I let go. Although, also, hundreds killed when he did it. Let the first punch go and four buildings fell, bro. Hundreds killed Superman. He's never killed anybody. I
remember watching that like, man, this is a real reckless Superman. Hey, bro. A lot of insurance claims.
I always wondered how they rebuild after he did stuff.
Like they went ham and on that.
You destroyed the whole city.
Through trains.
Does a flash help with reconstruction to speed it up? Like, what happens here?
I mean, all state.
We know one thing, but Batman ain't helping out. One of the funniest scenes. This is one of the Justice League cartoons. I think the Justice League was like trying to turn themselves in. He was like,
no.
I'm a part timer. He was like, but we need you to we need you to show up. Figure it out.
Hey, listen. Batman said, don't try to lump me in because your conscience is guilty.
Hey, y'all want to know the biggest racket? The biggest racket while we go down this cartoon rabbit hole is Wayne probably puts insurance on all those buildings and gets paid when they destroy them.
Yeah, right. Facts.
Which is how he keeps rich.
That's how he stay rich.
Him and LexCorp, because LexCorp was all on that stuff out there. Hey,
they the only two people who can afford their insurance premiums. And then they just create a catastrophe to blow them up.
Bank off of it, bro. Batman money start getting low. He'd be like, man, I got to let the Joker out again.
Yeah, oh, this is a real podcast.
At this hey, bro,
he just needs something to do for real. I can't tell him
that man's lonely.
he needs something to do, bro.
Did they just throw a diesel engine?
My thing with Batman is Batman don't be helping the cause, bro. I swear he don't. Batman don't get nobody. No opportunity to answer, no questions, bro. He just punch him straight in the throat. Just be like, where are the drugs? I don't. Be like, dang, bro. Like,
but he
my man's choking to death right now.
But he always answer.
Hey, the greatest Batman line of all time will forever be when he pulled that man up. He was like, "Where are the drugs? I don't know. I swear to God, swear to me." I don't know. I swear to God, swear to me. What?
Hey, that voice is so corny.
I know. How do I come back from this, bro? Like,
why did he have a voice changer? Why did he have to sit there and just do the whole deep voice thing? I never understood that.
That man sounded like Dikembe Mutombo and Saul put together, bro. Hey, man, we appreciate y'all for tuning in. It's showing love as always, man.
Off the rails. We can't put us four together. We don't know where we're
going. Hey, this is why I can't wait till the new stew is finished, bro. Once we get up in that mug, it's going to be insanity. Already this is, swear to me, is wild. Hey, bro. And then he dropped them.
Oh, snap.
Hey, we appreciate y'all for showing love on another episode, man. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. We'll be back Monday morning, 9 a.m. Oh, my voice hurt now from doing that.
And Kristen Bell did it for 3 movies. Hey, at what point did Kristen Bell go, there's no better way to do this?
Bam, he came up with the voice, bro. You looked at all the Batmans in history and was like, yeah, that's the voice I'm going to go with.
Hey,
that man did the end. Like the he script. Did the end of that Joker end scene. It was like, I just want you to know that, and you can change, and I can change, and anybody can change. Like, that was Rocky, but y'all get the point. But nah, man, follow us on everything, man. Make sure to support the channel. Hit that like button if you haven't done so. If you ain't enjoyed this, I don't know what you're doing out here, man. We'll be back Monday morning, like I said, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. The Daily Show is back for the pettiest man alive, Mr. P. Kid, and the man formerly known as Ringo J. Stefan the Don, super producer Joel Holt in the building. Yeah.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.